Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Julie Douglas.
Julie, how much sleep did you get last night?
7.5 hours.
That's pretty good.
It wasn't bad.
I mean, eight is the ballpark. That's clean living right there at eight, right?
That's what I aspire to.
Yeah.
But I need that. What about you?
Let's see. 12, 1, 2, 3, 4. I tend to get around, like, generally at my ideal is like get 7. But I feel much better when I get 8.
Well, and that makes a huge difference,
yeah.
Right?
Sometimes I get 6. In the past, I found that, like, I can pull, like one night a week, I can stay up a little late. But then I need to make it up. Like, I don't know. Used to, it was different. Different when you're younger. But But these days, yeah, I find myself getting 7, but 8 would be gravy.
Well, okay, so there's this idea out there that 8 hours is the ideal, or actually between 6 and 8 hours. Sort of depends. Okay. Everybody is wired a little bit differently, and certainly melatonin levels are different depending on.
Depends how much sleeping you're getting done on the train later on in the day, or under your desk in a secret compartment that you've built.
That nobody can see, that looks like a cubicle, but it's not.
Yeah.
There's this idea that these are standards. They even call this sleep hygiene these days. But there's a really fascinating New York Times article. Actually, it's New York Times Magazine. It's called The Sleep Industrial Complex. And we'll talk a little bit more about this in a second.
But Sleep Industrial Complex.
The Sleep Industrial Complex, about this idea of sleep is being this, God-given, right of 8 hours, and this is the normalcy, and this is sleep hygiene, and we should all order these $2,000 beds so that we can sleep better, because we spend half our life sleeping.
Yeah, that's the
so
big
on
sell.
And so
yeah.
forth, right?
Half your life there.
But before we go into that, I wanted to mention that we are, of course, talking about sleep, this idea about whether or not in the future, in the near future, we will need as much of it, and the reasons why. But before we go into the reasons why we may or may not need sleep, let's talk about ye old days.
Ye olden days of sleep. Well, sleep was invented. It wasn't invented. We've always slept. So
right.
I mean, that's the thing. When you first brought this up, like, what did sleep used to be like? My thought was, well, it was probably like it was now. You got tired in the evenings, maybe a little earlier, especially in, say, if you have like an agrarian kind of environment going on. There's only so much you can do at night. You need to get up early. So when it's too dark to work, you go to sleep. Or in, like, say, medieval city settings where you would have certain, like, curfews in place,
mm-hmm.
You can only live it up so much at night, so you might as well go to bed, right?
Well, you don't have electricity, right? So, yeah, there's not a ton to do.
Video games were primitive.
there's just a stick and dirt, and then your candle would run out anyway, so.
Eventually, you're tired of fighting the lice, and you just go to sleep. And you could get 8 hours, I would guess, right?
Well, what they were saying, though, is that, depending on the time of the year, you could have 10 hours of sunlight and 14 hours of darkness. And in this article that I talked about, the Sleep Industrial Complex, Roger Eckrich, a professor of history at Virginia Tech, says that for many centuries, and perhaps back to Homer, Western society slept in two shifts because there was so much darkness, right? The 14 hours, and you didn't have electricity. And he says that people went to sleep, got up in the middle of the night for an hour or so, and then went to sleep again. Thus, night, and I'm quoting here, divided into a first sleep and a second sleep. And this is where they have this intermission. And he says that there was an extraordinary level of activity during this intermission period.
Really? So it's not just like, I woke up, I stumbled into the bathroom, or I stumbled into the kitchen and ate a chicken wing, and then I went to sleep.
No.
It's like you're getting up, you're hitting the town for a couple of hours.
Yeah. He says that people would get up and they'd tend to their animals, or they would do housekeeping.
Okay.
Or they'd have sex.
Yeah.
Or they'd just lay in bed thinking. smoking a pipe, he says.
All valid options, yeah.
Gossiping with bedfellows, because remember, this is back in the day, like, you might be sleeping in a bed with six other people,
and
with six siblings.
And even not necessarily that far away in some societies.
Right.
Like when I read Black Robe, which I'm sure I've mentioned here before, the awesome novel that had to do with Native American populations in the U.S., particularly the Huron people, and then also Jesuits. But there were a lot of descriptions of the group sleeping environments among the Huron. And certainly, it's like it's a communal experience. And if people are waking up, you're liable to chat a little.
Or smoke. Or if you're Benjamin Franklin, you would take a cold air bath. Which means
he
would read naked in a chair, and he'd call it his cold air bath,
in the middle of the night.
Yeah, you can kind of see that really well, right? Like, for some reason, that's something that's easy to imagine.
I always imagine him now as the version that we saw in the John Adams HBO miniseries, played by that great actor whose name eludes me at the moment. That guy. But anyway, they play up his bodiness a little, not to like comic degrees, but to what feels like a more realistic degree. So I can imagine that Ben Franklin enjoying his cool air bath during his.
That's exactly what I thought of, a corpulent Ben Franklin, I have to say. So anyway, the idea here is that sleep has not always been an unbroken block of 6 to 8 hours, and that people have always sort of done different things with it. In fact, there's no conclusive evidence, but it's thought that Leonardo da Vinci practiced something called polyphasic sleep, and that's taking 20 to 30 minute naps every couple of hours throughout the day and the night, which you can actually see the advantages to that. Right? I mean, because you kind of get refreshed at intervals.
Well, I mean, if you, like, I've never tried it, but certainly if I were to look at my own schedule, I would say, when I wake up, those first 6 hours are optimal for me. That's when I'm going to get my best writing done. That's when, if I'm podcasting, that's when I need to podcast in the a.m., not in the p.m. And then by the afternoon, I'm having increasing difficulty stringing words together or remembering where I kept things. So it would seem logical that if I just increase my waking periods, I would increase my optimal thinking periods as well.
If you had a balance of the two, sure.
Right.
Yeah. Well, it turns out, according to Eckrich, that sleep disorders could be, especially the ones that in which you wake up in the middle of the night and you have a hard time getting back to sleep, that this may actually not necessarily be a sign of not being able to fall asleep again, but could be rooted in the more traditional pattern that we just spoke of, in which there are 10 hours of daylight and 14 hours of darkness, and people had those intermissions.
Now, I believe there was a Seinfeld episode where Kramer was going after the Leonardo da Vinci model, and it ended up not working for him. Not to say that that is a clinical trial of said sleep pattern, but a number of viewers probably made that connection. Oh, and by the way, Tom Wilkinson is the actor.
Okay.
Great actor.
Well, in Ayurvedic medicine too, there's different doshas, they call them, that rule different parts of the day. So there's this idea that certain doshas you would fall asleep easily and then you would wake up. And that there are some people who actually follow this. So these are like 4-hour blocks of time. So if this certain dosha, which was more amenable to sleep, were to occur during the day, then you would sleep during that time period. So there are many different ideas of sleep and how to accomplish it.
Yeah, I mean, certainly just in anyone's friend group, you can probably think of various people who are, you know, night work. Like my sister, for instance, she bakes beads for jewelry and she does that like exclusively in the wee hours of the morning and then sleeps late in the wee hours. She stays up at night and works on it and then sleeps rather late. Whereas I'm just the opposite. If I'm going to do something creative or that involves thought, it's going to have to happen in the a.m. So and you see people with drastic differences in that. I can't think of anyone. I've never met anyone who's like, yeah, middle of the day. Right at noon.
Yeah. Right after I eat a sandwich about 3 o'clock, that's when I'm really productive.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about why we need sleep. We've talked about this a little bit before in previous podcasts, but let's just sort of have a refresher that newborns sleep up to 20 hours a day. And of course they need that because they're secreting growth hormones and all sorts of crazy things that are going on to help them grow. And then us adults log between 6 to 8 hours of sleep, and it is essential to mammals.
Yeah. Sleep, just a few bullet points here. Sleep gives the body a chance to repair muscles and other tissues to replace aging or dead cells. So it's maintenance time in the old body. Sleep gives the brain a chance to organize and archive memories. Dreams are thought by some to be part of this process. We've discussed that before. Mm-hmm. The idea of our dream cycle is a problem solving space that happens at a subconscious level. Sleep lowers our energy consumption, so we need 3 meals a day rather than 4 or 5. And since we don't do anything, you know, in the dark anyway, we might as well turn off and save energy. That's, of course, rolling back on older models of we're not nocturnal creatures. We can't see anything, so we might as well shut down. Also, as the Wiggum child points out in The Simpsons, sleep is where you're a Viking. So there's that.
That's right. Sleep for chance to dream.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product and yeah, it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astapro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can get Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. If you haven't heard of Visible, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Having a one-line plan means you only need you to save. No estranged roommates, exes, cousins twice removed, or AI-powered humanoid robots needed. And because $25 a month really means $25 a month, you can call, text, stream, whatever, as much as you want without worrying about getting dinged at the end of the month.
No hidden fees, no surprises. No, really. It's like the old saying goes, you can't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. So spread the word. Tell all your friends there's a wireless company out there with transparency in their name, and they're called Visible. Start saving on wireless today at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
So yeah, a lot of it points back to the fact that we have this 3-pound little, you know, operating system that does take a lot of energy. Mm-hmm. And as you say, if we can turn off, then we can conserve that, and we don't have to keep feeding that.
So what happens when we can't go to sleep, right? That's always been the problem, because you can force yourself to stay up, be it out of sheer terror, by the use of natural or illicit substances,
mm-hmm.
or just sheer, you know, intensity of thought. You may be able to keep yourself to some degree awake, and not also various medical conditions, of course, will do this as well.
Right.
You miss one night of sleep, it's not going to kill you. You're generally going to be irritable the next day.
Mm-hmm.
It may slow you down. You'll become tired easily. Or it's also possible that you'll be totally wired because of adrenaline. If you're still just, you know, pumping through it. Say you're running for your life from monsters all night and then into the next day.
Right.
All right, if you miss two nights of sleep, though, then it starts really catching up with you. Concentration becomes difficult. Attention span falls. Mistakes increase, like silly mistakes even. Things that you do every day, you try to unload the dishwasher, you're going to break glasses left and right, that kind of thing. After 3 days, though, that's when you start to hallucinate. And clear thinking becomes impossible. You may start seeing spiders in the corners that aren't there, you know.
I actually have experienced that before. Yeah. When my daughter was a newborn, and being up in the middle of the night with her so much. And at some point I remember hallucinating that the room was getting really tiny,
mm-hmm.
and really big. And that's when I was like, oh, okay, this is, you know, these are the effects of not being able to sleep. And it is not, I mean, this is one of those things that a large percentage of Americans, and the rest of the world too, really, that actually happened to them as well. I mean, 70% of Americans get less than the generally recommended 8 hours of sleep per night, and yeah. then they suffer some type of sleep deprivation symptom.
What's worth pointing out about the 3 days plus thing, you were hallucinating a little bit, but you were still grounded in reality. You were like,
I knew something was
up. Yeah, you were like, the room's not really moving. Or you might realize there aren't really ghost spiders crawling in the corners of my vision, but it can reach the point where you actually lose grasp of reality. And we've conducted experiments where rats forced to stay awake continuously, mm-hmm. Eventually die.
Yeah, they can live up to 3 years, but you're right. If you were to take 2 or 3 weeks and continuously deprive them of sleep, they would die.
Yeah.
So we know obviously that this is something that we cannot go without, or can we?
That's the thing, because inevitably, I mean, we've all had that point. Be it, you know, especially if you've been in a college scenario, or you found yourself like dealing with a newborn, or any kind of stressful, time-consuming portion of your life, or maybe you just, there's a video game you want to play and you never have time for it, or a hobby you want to pursue, or that book you want to write and you find yourself sleepy and out of energy when you could work on it. You may think to yourself, man, if I could just get rid of this sleep thing, then that would totally open up my day. I'd have half my life back, and I could use that to go after these various endeavors. Or certainly in military and scenarios. We've had situations where, all right, we need to win this thing. We need these pilots to come in, fill up the planes, and then go out again.
Mm-hmm.
But we need them to be able to fly the plane. We need them to have have that alertness and ability that is there when they first wake up in the morning. How can we sustain that?
Yeah, let's talk more about the history of soldiers and stimulants, because that is a great example. You have people who are in high-stakes situations. They're in different time zones most of the time. They're in a different climate. They're under extreme stress, and sleep is a fleeting thing, right? There are times that you want to turn it on, and there are times that you want to turn it off. And this I thought was really interesting. The number currently of Ritalin and Adderall prescriptions written for active-duty service members increased by nearly 1,000%. In 5 years. So that's from 32, it has increased from 3,000 to 32,000. And TRICARE Management Activity, which is an arm of the Department of Defense, says that this is because there have been increased diagnoses of ADHD. But then we know that the military has had a long history of using stimulants to help keep troops alert and awake.
And certainly, I mean, you're dealing with military environments, combat environments. It's ultimately a matter of life and death, so it's hard to argue against the use of those substances in these circumstances. If you're looking at this individual is going out back into combat, he's going back out into a situation where he or she may be shot at or shot down, etc. Then how do you make the argument against giving them that chemical edge or giving them the chemical edge to actually sleep and rest when they return with all of these thoughts still ringing in their head and all these fears and apprehensions?
I wanted to point out, too, that during the Vietnam War, that U.S. troops were given amphetamines, and amphetamines work throughout the brain to boost levels of a range of neurotransmitters. And it's pretty much speed, right?
Right.
Which would keep you very active and alert. And Nazis also gave it to their troops in the form of something called Provitin.
Okay. The German infantry, yeah.
Yeah. And Provigil and Modafinil are central nervous system stimulants, and those have been used by military pilots and special forces during missions. The problem, of course, with all of this are the side effects.
Right.
Provigil has side effects that include nervousness, insomnia, excitation, irritability, tremors, dizziness, and headaches. So it's not the perfect drug here, and certainly it is a solution to some of the problems that exist in this environment, but at what cost?
Yeah, certainly I think pilots, that's a great example of this, because especially if you're dealing with flying a long, very long distance on a combat mission or what have you, you want them to have optimal performance for the entire time. But even with these chemicals, it's going to get increasingly shaky the more you push it out. It's like holding a hold in yoga. That's how far removed I am from combat scenarios, I guess. But it's like the longer you hold it, the shakier
right.
It's going to get.
Right.
To the point where no amount of chemical aid is going to help you, or so we thought.
Right. And we won't go into some of the instances, but there have been some of the use of Provigil and Modafinil in which some unfortunate incidences have happened, and people have wondered whether or not it's the side effects from the drug that were, causing people to not think clearly or having impaired thinking. So let's talk about in 2007, DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, which comes up with some really cool things.
Everything from driverless cars to, it really runs the gamut.
Yeah. They, in conjunction with Department of Defense and Jerome Siegel, a professor of psychiatry at UCLA, came up with a nasal spray that would help create a sense of wakefulness and alertness without many side effects, which is a huge breakthrough.
Yeah, the idea is pretty great. I mean, they refer to it as a sleep replacement drug. Which just sounds crazy. Sleep replacement. I mean, it tends to go against everything that we've discussed so far. The idea that sleep is inevitable, sleep is mandatory, but if you could actually replace it with a drug, then what couldn't we do in the space of 24 hours or 48 hours or even longer?
All right, so check this out. There was a study of monkeys who were deprived of sleep for 30 to 36 hours. And I wonder how they did that, by the way, too. Like, did they just play loud music or, like, you know,
make them
do puzzles?
They gave them the first five seasons of Breaking Bad.
Yeah. Well, that'll do it right there. And then those monkeys were given either orexin A or a saline placebo before taking standard cognitive tests. And what they found is that the monkeys who were given orexin A in a nasal spray scored about the same as alert monkeys on cognitive tests, while the saline control group was severely impaired. And so this is a study that was published in the December 26, 2007 edition of the Journal of Neuroscience. It was found that orexin A not only restored their cognitive abilities, but it made, and this is huge, it made their brains look awake in PET scans as well. So there's evidence that it's not just that there's a certain level of alertness, but that they could have been firing on all cylinders.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll keep rolling. We will stay alert, stay awake. Going to keep talking about the death of sleep here, possibly.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. If you haven't heard of Visible, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Having a one-line plan means you only need you to save. No estranged roommates, exes, cousins twice removed, or AI-powered humanoid robots needed. And because $25 a month really means $25 a month, you can call, text, stream, whatever, as much as you want without worrying about getting dinged at the end of the month.
No hidden fees, no surprises. No, really. It's like the old saying goes, you can't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. So spread the word. Tell all your friends there's a wireless company out there with transparency in their name, and they're called Visible. Start saving on wireless today at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
All right, we're back. And we are talking about orexin A, this promising sleep replacement drug candidate, which do not go to your pharmacy, do not go to your doctor and ask for orexin A.
Don't buy it online.
And do not buy it online.
I'm sure something is available that is calling itself orexin A. Mm-hmm. It's also called hypocretin. It's a neuropeptide hormone, and it's produced in the hypothalamus. And it's what allows us to remain awake for a continuous chunk of time. Because our body basically releases orexin A throughout the day. Mm-hmm. So this is the interesting part, is that the reason that orexin A was discovered to help manipulate these different sleep states and wakeful states is because they noticed, researchers noticed that people who have narcolepsy have trouble falling asleep. And the reason they are having trouble falling asleep is because they lack orexin A, this wakefulness hormone.
So orexin A is the finger of the brain poking you and keeping you awake during that meeting or that church sermon. And people with narcolepsy don't have that finger to poke them in the shoulder.
And it's interesting because previously researchers were trying to treat sleep disorders by really inducing sleep at the right time rather than tinkering with wakefulness.
Right.
So it's sort of they took the opposite tact here.
Instead of like, we're going to knock you out at 10:30 p.m., let's actually look at what's going on in the brain.
Yeah. So the idea here is that if the deficit of orexin A makes people sleepy, adding it back into the brain would reduce its effects. So that's where you see something like the nasal spray becoming really effective because you're getting a shot of this orexin A, you are vanquishing the sleepies with wakefulness. And so it becomes a really effective drug for narcoleptics as well, right? Because it's inducing wakefulness. Now, at the other end of the spectrum, you have something called Surovexant. And this is a drug from Merck, and it's still in trials. But what it's trying to do is block the receptors for orexin. So now they're saying, okay, well, let's not let orexin attach to the receptors so that we can induce the sleepiness. And you're essentially taking out the wakeful component.
Okay.
Yeah. And this is the huge thing about it is it doesn't appear to have the hangover side effects that some sleep aid medications are reported to have. But it's still in trials, and there's the idea that more research needs to go on, obviously, to make sure that the drug wouldn't inadvertently cause sleep state disassociations for your body later on.
The idea being here that you're taking one pill to wake you up, one pill to put you down, and eventually everything's going to be out of whack.
Yeah, that your body is like, okay, well, now that I have been manipulated with my receptors have been blocked here on orexin A, and sleepiness has been induced, later on in the day, is my body going to try to make up for it? Mm-hmm. Is there a possibility? So far, with the drug trials, that doesn't seem to be the case, but you still would want to know what the long-term effects would be for both the suvorexant, which would help you sleep, and for the nasal spray, which would inhibit sleep and create wakefulness. You know, that's the question that it comes down to. How will this be used for the general public, the nasal spray? You know, will gamers just be, you know, sniffing it?
Will college students abuse it?
For 24 hours a day, right.
Will partiers, because people are... People were partying all night anyway, and if this improves one's optimal partying ability, then it becomes, you can see that becoming a hot thing.
It sounds like sniffable Red Bull to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to say nothing about the potential complications of combining this with any other stimulants or other medications. So yeah, the jury's definitely out.
But it is.
What we'll do with it and then what the various complications could be.
It's a fascinating question, though, about whether or not you could restore your cognitive functions to the wakeful state that you naturally would have and be able to avoid sleep. I mean, you're not going to get the cell rejuvenation that you would in a deep sleep.
Yeah. You need your muscle repair to take place, aging dead cells to be tended to. So, yeah, it seems like all that is going to catch up with you. You wouldn't be able to use this to stay awake indefinitely or not without severe consequences.
But again, I find it fascinating from the perspective of being able to manipulate our wakeful states and our sleep states. And, you know, is there going to be a drug that is on the other end of the spectrum that makes you go to sleep so that you can manipulate, your sleep activities and your wakeful activities whenever you want?
Yeah, I mean, I wonder if it could reach the point where, like, I also remember, in addition to having thoughts of, oh, what if I didn't have to sleep? Wouldn't life be easier? You wouldn't have to buy a bed, do this, that, and the other. But I've also had those times where I thought, wouldn't it be nice if I could just stockpile some sleep, stay up for a certain period of time, or I could stay up for 4 days and just sleep the weekend away. And to a certain extent, that's how it works in terms of having to pay back what you take away from your sleep cycle. But if you could actually do this at a chemical level with a hormone level with these substances, then perhaps we would reach the point where someone is taking orexin A to stay awake for, say, 4 days of work during the week, and then countering that with other medications to sleep it out for the weekend.
Or if you're just having a commute and you artificially make yourself fall into a sleep pattern. So if you're like commuting on MARTA, for instance, on the train system, and you can catch, 20, 30 minutes.
Yeah, you can.
And then
if
you
don't
have any cash on you when you wake up.
Yeah. Well, there you have it.
Something to sleep on.
Something to sleep on or not sleep on, as it may work out. It reminded me, and of course, we got this title from Macbeth. There's a great part in Macbeth where Macbeth says, "Methought I heard a voice cry, 'Sleep no more.' Macbeth does murder sleep, the innocent sleep, sleep that knits up the raveled sleeve of care, the death of each day's life, sore labor's bath, balm of hurts minds, great nature's second course, chef nourisher in life's feast." And Lady Macbeth says, "What do you mean?" And Macbeth says, "Still it cried, 'Sleep no more,' to all the house. Glamis hath murdered sleep, and therefore Cotter shall sleep no more. Macbeth shall sleep no more." So, of course, Macbeth is rather stressed out during most of this play.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what's keeping him awake, all these worries about what he's done and what he's going to have to do and what the toll is going to be at the end. But yeah, the idea that Macbeth, as usual, Shakespeare manages to word it best, but it's talking about sleep as the sleep that knits up the raveled sleeve of care. I really like that. So what happens when we banish it, when we murder sleep?
When we stay unraveled.
Yeah. So I am sure you guys and gals have some sleep-related tidbits to share with us about either about legitimate problems you've had with sleep, or times when you've really pushed yourself to stay awake for an extended period of time, and or been pushed to stay awake for an extended period of time. What was that like? What strengths did you find yourself flowing with? What negative impact did it have on your wakeful state? We'd love to hear about all of that. And certainly, what are your thoughts about the potential of being able to take a sleep replacement drug? How do you think that would change your life? How do you think it would change culture as we know it? Would it? I don't know. Would you banish sleep to get half your life back, or do you feel like you'd be losing the best half of your life? Because let's face it, sleep is awesome.
And would you take air baths?
Yes.
A lot.
Do you take nude air baths in the night? Let us know about that as well. Well, let's call over the robot real quick and just do one quick listener mail. All right, here's one from Don. Don writes in and says, "Hello, Robert and Julie. Thank you for taking on breastfeeding as a scientific topic. I would imagine that this topic will generate lots of mail for you on both sides of the issue. It's amazing to me how something so natural and so logical, frankly, is rebuked by so many. Just yesterday, I was excited to see that a shopping mall had designated nursing rooms, even if the sign for the room featured an illustration of a baby bottle half full of milk. I was amazed to learn that some men are able to breastfeed. Imagine if this were the norm. I would be interested to see this develop, especially since men strut around shirtless in public so shamelessly." And this is something that when I was talking to my wife about some of this, and she was like, "Yeah, it's like the woman has her top off, and it's a scandal, but you'll see the most grotesque men walking around with their shirts off, and it's no big deal."
Yeah, it does kind of boggle the mind.
And then Don continues, "On the topic of performance art, which was another episode we did, I wanted to draw your attention to a performance artist named Chris Burden, if you haven't already heard of him. I saw one of his installations in college. Apparently, he crucified himself to the hood of a Volkswagen Beetle, had someone shoot him in the arm, and also had a piece where he stood backstage and attempted to breathe water for 45 minutes. Interesting stuff. Keep up the great work, Don."
We'll have to check that out.
Yeah, I've heard of the... the Volkswagen Beetle thing rings a bell, but I know I've seen some stuff about the shooting as art.
Yeah. Chris Burden?
Yeah, Burden. All right. Well, so let us know your thoughts on sleep replacement drugs, on breastfeeding in public, which, by the way, we have received a lot of comments from that.
We have,
and I have to say that all of them have been really positive. I mean, nobody's...
Very insightful as well.
Very insightful, yeah. And if you have any thoughts, obviously, about performance art, let us know. You can find us on Facebook and Tumblr where we are Stuff to Blow Your Mind on both of those. And on Twitter, we are Blow the Mind.
And you can always drop us a line at blowthemind@discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.